the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome back to Postcard from Potbrad, boys and girls, as we remind you of August the 14th. Look it up on the internet. The interweb will do it. Look up Marine Offences Act 1967 to see how draconian the UK was. And people are saying it's draconian these days. You're having a laugh.
I think it is draconian when you think whatever he's called. What's our Prime Minister called? David Cameron.
Yes.
What he's trying to do to Britain now because of these rights. These rights are despicable and absolutely shameful, but some of the threats that...
I have to say, Lee, I was scratching my brain about this the other day. And all the time I've been out here in Slovakia, which is getting close to 10 years, even if you take into consideration Bratislava, the capital city, the only time there's been anything close to riots is when there's been drunk Brits here.
Yes. You know, the problem we've got over here,
we've
got vigilantes on the streets now as well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but, you know, the vigilantes, almost to a man, are just soccer thugs.
I know. It's even worse. Anyway, we mentioned the BBC earlier on. And
we did.
Yes, a new announcement has come out today that the BBC expenditure from January to March 2011 has been announced. And they're very pleased to say that they've saved £17.6 million. Get this, £17.6 million by removing senior management payments, i.e. they've got rid of bodies, right?
You know what? If you work that out, that's £100,000 each manager they've got rid of, more or less, isn't it?
Well, how do you work that out? 117 managers, yeah.
That's
what you mean. Yeah, but it begs the question.
How much are you paying them then? £100,000,
obviously, wasn't it? But the trouble is, this is what I always say with big organisations, you end up having a manager for a manager for a manager.
Yeah,
then you have an assistant, then you have a PA for them, and Uncle Tom cobbling all. And the truth is, after time, if you want something done, and let's just say, boys and girls, think about this, because if you've got a small business, this is a top tip for you. This is one of Eric's top tips coming up. Ready?
And he doesn't get his top tips out very often.
No, I don't. If you are what they call a small to medium-sized company, an SME, you often need, and people say, you should have a PR company. And you think, well, everybody else has got one, so maybe I should have one. And then you sort of think about it, and what happens is this. You find a little story about yourself where you've done something nice. Hard for Lee, true, but it does happen. Then you write this story up. You send it to a PR company who invariably sends it off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, for a small company, it's only ever going to be local news. Correct?
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So what you've done is you've just done all the work for a PR company to send it off to somewhere else, to send it off to a local newspaper or the radio, when all you've got to do really, and save yourself about £15,000, is go to the local newspaper and go, hello, and play it down a bit. Don't be the big I am, just say, I'm just a normal bloke, but I just wondered if you wanted to know about this. The chances are, they'll actually run it.
And absolutely.
Yeah, and if you go to your BBC local station, if you've done something for the local school from your company, the chances are they'll run that story. You have saved 10 tons of time, effort and money. And this is the problem with bigger organisations. They will... It goes to some... Nobody makes a decision, nobody does anything, and you end up with more people doing exactly the same job in the first place, rather than having the people at the front end being extended, which is what's really important. In the BBC's case, it's journalists. You want more of them, not less
That's
of them.
That's right. Of course you do. Can I get my top tips out for the boys and girls
Well,
now?
I was just going to tie it back to your riots thing. And the same applies to the police force. Stop having the police filling out stupid bits of paper, which results in about 20% of the actual police force out on the street, because they're all filling in stupid little forms.
It's that leads on into a very wide area, though, that I think we should debate, but not perhaps today.
Uh-huh.
Because the fact that the police are cutting down on the paperwork is causing mammoth problems all over this country. It's something that people don't talk about. Like, for instance, accidents, car crashes, accidents. Virtually every accident now in the UK, believe this or not, is put down as damage only, therefore it is not recorded. That's to save paperwork.
Yeah.
And yet the whole of the mayhem on the roads in Britain is being distorted by this.
I know, it's all about targets and stupidity like that.
Exactly,
dump it.
Yeah.
Let's move on, otherwise we'll get bogged down.
Can I just say something about PR people?
Yeah.
Seems that, you know, we tried hard not to upset teachers earlier on. Well, I don't think we should upset PR people either.
Go on, then.
My top tip about PR people is very similar to yours, except just remember that the basic premise of being a PR person is that you go to a firm, command a high salary or high income or whatever, and you stay there as long as you can until you're found out and sacked, and then you move on to the next company.
Yeah, funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, Tony Curtis.
The
great, one of the greatest ever actors, in my opinion. Also a little story for Lee here. Some of his personal belongings, because Tony died last September when he was aged 85, are going to be sold off or go under the hammer, whichever way you want to look at it, including the man who's claimed by Slovakia. Andy Warhol was claimed by the town just down the road from me, about 10 miles away. And
when you say he was claimed, why did you say he was claimed? He actually was born there, wasn't he?
Well, he was born there. But
he was there.
But it's like saying I'm Slovak, I'm not.
Well, you weren't born there. There is absolutely 100% difference. He was born there, you weren't.
Yeah, he was there. He was in Slovakia for about 5 minutes. And then he shot off to America.
I don't want to pursue that because we'll just get all the Slovaks to fall out with it.
Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff from a Fabergé gold and sapphire cigarette case through to watches, furniture, a rosewood flute, which was given to Tony by Frank Sinatra.
I thought that was a pink oboe.
Rosewood flute.
Yes, that's the one.
Sometimes you despair, don't you? He's so snobby about all his ready books and stuff. And then goes and does something. Reminds me of, do you know what? Every time I see an advert on the television, I think of you, Lee.
What, not the one sheet one?
No. This is an advert for a book thing that Mark has spoken about, I think, in the past.
Oh, right. Hello, Mark. How are you enjoying your holiday? Yeah, I've had a holiday for 4 years, you know.
And within this advert is for one of these electronic books, book thingies, and it says, in the palm of your hand, you have 550,000 books. And I'm going, what a great idea. We won't have to cut down so many ruddy trees, and Lee can stop whinging because there's all your books in one little bit of metally nothing.
Yeah, but I'd rather have them on my bookshelves in my library.
Sure you would, yeah.
I have actually just been out, not while we've been on the show, I mean before this, I have actually just been out and bought a set of library steps so I can get to the top of my shelf.
Yeah, and he goes to the pub on his horse and gets everybody to say, "Evening, Squire!" at the same time.
Oh, no, it's just that I drink white horse.
I knew that. Stop it. Anyway, moving along. I think this is a great bit of technology if it actually works. Scientists have been experimenting with an electronic tattoo, which has been written up as a study in the journal Science. And the theory is that this thing can do all sorts of monitoring for you. It can do all sorts of other checking your heart and all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah. And apparently this device is less than 50 micrometers thick, which is about the size of a human hair. Really, really tiny. And they tattoo it onto your leg or your heart or somewhere. And it works.
Tattoo it onto your heart?
Leg.
That's an hurt.
Oh, not heart, sorry. Leg or arm. Did I say heart?
Tattoo it onto your arm.
Oh, sorry, your arm. Your arm, dear. Your arm. The only problem is apparently that they already reckon that your skin will grow back underneath and it could do it a bit of harm, so not sure how long it's going to last. But, you know, if you've got something like this working, it's an amazing kind of thing. And not only can it be a great scientific thing, it could also be used for games and stuff like that as well.
What? You can play games on your thing that's keeping you alive?
Well, if you think about, do you know this sort of joke about watching Star Trek with the communicator? And today we're actually almost using the same thing, because there are satellite phones and stuff like that, which are the same premise. When you think about it, how was a band called Kraftwerk deployed in your brain when you first saw them?
They came in little, like, cardboard circular boxes, and you had to take the silver paper off and then spread them on your bread.
Kraftwerk.
It's hard work to get about, yeah.
Kraftwerk, the band, they were playing the music on their jackets, weren't they?
Eh?
Do you not
remember? You're such a weirdo.
Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk. Right, Kraftwerk, the pop band, yes? They did a song called Autobahn. Oh, it's all good home. And they were on stage. And the
I've actually got a barn. You haven't got a barn.
And the music came from their jackets because they were playing on their lapels.
They've been on drugs or something.
Tell him, boys and girls.
All the instruments, and that's why them under the
They had no instruments. It was all electronic Kraftwerk.
And he just played, oh, yeah, I'll just strum a sleeve.
Well, the funny thing is that all those years ago you had the sort of halfway house of stuff, and yet today you've got all these electronic instruments that you can play, which where sci-fi has become sci-fact. So if you think about it... It is hard work, you see.
It is hard work here, look. Listen, ladies
and gentlemen.
It's
too much for a red-top journalist.
He's vaunting all the values of this thing and saying that you can play music on your jacket by twigging the sleeve and things like that.
Yeah.
And you can do your buttons if you want. This is what this thing is made of, right?
Yeah.
All the electronics are built out of wavy, snake-like components.
Yeah, which means they can be stretched and squeezed.
Exactly. Well, how safe's that going to be? You get a snake and you can play games. You got a snake on your chest, and it's actually a tattoo. And you can
worry,
play
don't
games.
You
can play on your snake. Yeah, what a load of
you
rubbish!
See, it will happen. Prediction from Eric: it will happen. And
it's really good. I think it will happen. No, it's
yeah, it will
good.
Actually. Moving along into music, Jay-Z has topped the Forbes magazine hip hop register in the rich list, making $37 million. That's £22 million in the past 12 months.
That's incredible. But you know what? I really object to though is that probably one of the greatest rappers this world has ever seen isn't actually mentioned on it.
Well, it's because he's not made so much money.
Yeah, but he should have done.
Well, that's not his... I mean, if he's not popular, that's tough luck, isn't it?
Do you want to know who he is?
Yes, please.
Mike Skinner. The Streets.
Oh, right, yes, of course.
Oh, they are... The Streets are probably one of the best combos around today, and they get no...
Combos? That's so 1960s.
Combos.
Yeah, we used to have a combo. It was called a 650 and had a sidecar. That's a combo. But anyway, congratulations to Jay-Z. $37 million.
That's all right for just saying a few broken words, isn't it?
Excuse me?
Well, all it is. I could rap. I could rap if I wanted.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It says Cameron.
Stop
Chaos
it.
Always begins for no reason.
Stop
did you know
it. Stop
that was
it.
The soft bit in me rap.
Yeah, I know.
Chaos always begins for no reason.
At all. Anyway, staying with music a minute, all the girls that used to scream and shout in the middle of the 60s will all be so crying in their soup now. Because it's ended. It's bananas. The monkeying around
really
has stopped.
Sorry, I was just letting you continue.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, we're talking about, hey, it's the monkeys. And people say we monkey around. But it isn't anymore because they've stopped. Apparently, they've been on their Facebook pages saying the tour's over. Mickey Dolenz, Davy Jones, who used to come from England, of course, and was famously in Coronation Street, and Peter Tork.
He still comes from England, actually.
Right. Are you just being picky today?
I'm not being picky. I'm just trying to fill all that space that Mark usually has.
Oh, right.
Davy Jones is from Britain. He used to be in Coronation Street.
Yeah.
And Pete Tork comes from Minnesota, where his Royal Bobness comes from.
Right.
Mickey Dolenz comes from Cheltenham.
Do you know what's really funny about this? I just thought.
And the Monkees were crap.
They were good pop.
They were rubbish pop.
They were good pop.
They were actually one of the few bands on this earth who made the Beatles look good.
Oh, now you'll get hate mail. They're the same as the Bay City Rollers of the 70s.
Exactly. What a load of rubbish the Bay City Rollers
were.
They
kept everybody happy.
They didn't keep everybody happy. They were so unhappy themselves that they ended up doing drugs and drinking all sorts of terrible things that destroyed their careers.
Right. It's because they were stupid. Anyway, the interesting thing is... Mickey Dolenz is 66, right?
That's right.
Peter talks 69 right. now. Good grief.
Whoa, well done, Peter.
Yeah, you're doing well, mate. And equally, they both put the announcements on their Facebook page. Why can't you put them on your Facebook page at 65?
Who?
You.
I'm not part of the monkeys, and I'm not retired. Well, I am retired.
Exactly.
Well, okay, I will put it on my face. I'm going to put it on my face. I am now retired. I have been retired for 10 years, and I will continue. The monkeys were rubbish, man. They actually did some beautiful songs, though, apart from being rubbish, didn't they? If you think, oh, what was that beautiful real ballad one that Davy Jones sang?
All right. I do, actually. Yeah, I do, and I can't remember what it is now. Yeah, I know. The weird thing about it was I couldn't actually hear much of the Monkees when I went to Wembley to see them with the youth club. That was it. We went with the youth club. My sister was screaming so loud, I couldn't hear a word they were singing.
Your sister?
Yeah.
Was she a Monkees fan?
Her and Davy Jones, good grief.
What did her and Davy Jones get up to then?
Well, they didn't, but they would have done.
If she'd have had her way?
Well, yes.
What a way to talk about your sister.
She loved Davy Jones.
Well, apparently she didn't. She would have liked to have done.
Well, she would have liked to have done. Yes, indeed. Anyway, the Monkees tour's gone. It's stopped. And the reason being all down to business issues, which means they were looking to get their last lot of money out of the Monkees' name before they all gave up.
Yeah, basically they're too old to carry on.
Yeah, anyway. And
Mickey DeLenz looks a bit of a squashed up pancake. He looks like a pancake that's fell out of the pan onto the floor.
Okay, come on then, Guru. What's Mickey DeLenz famous for, other than the Monkees?
He actually is famous for something, isn't he?
Yeah.
What is it? I can't remember, honestly. Was it inventing post-its?
No.
The biro?
No.
Aeroplane.
I'll give you a clue. Ready?
Sure.
Ready?
Tarzan!
That's the one!
He played Jane!
Oh, my word. Staying with music, quite a sad story, this, actually. Some of Amy Winehouse's personal possessions have been stolen from her house. I can't believe that's happened. That is just outrageously despicable.
I think it's probably is absolutely one of the most in the week of the riots, and I tell you what, more than the riots themselves, more than the burning down of that shop and everything like that, this is one of, and it's nothing to do with the riots, I'm sure, but it's one of the most shameful stories ever. She's not even
cold.
No, not really. No,
absolutely not.
And somebody's been in. Oh, they've nicked some of the phone. Songbooks, haven't they?
Yeah, and some unreleased music as well.
Yeah, which is all they're going to do is stick it on YouTube or something like that. They're not going to
They won't, because that will be pulled as soon as looked at, mate. That will go.
Well, I know exactly, but that's the sort of moronic attitude that these people have.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. And, you know, if you are involved with that, or somebody offers you some memorabilia from Amy Winehouse's house, do the right thing. Either give it to hand it into the police, or put it back on the doorstep of her house, and nobody else nick it.
Yeah, don't put it on the doorstep, because somebody will. Take it to the police and tell them who you got it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we now have 12 minutes left of the programme. I have a vague feeling that this particular topic that's coming up next could take 12 minutes. Therefore, I apologise in advance for any boredom, ranting by Lee, or other foul-mouthed words that come out of his mouth. Because he's not going to be a happy bunny.
I could be quite happy with this. I think there is something that I have to say on this anyway.
Well, apparently, the UK newspaper group Trinity Mirror, which is basically the Mirror.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, there you go. Profits before tax fell to 28.9 million, which is still pretty good, you've got to admit.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, with underlying profits down 17% to 41 million. Unfortunately, Trinity Mirror has seen a steady decline in business since 2008, and the board has said that it will sort of carry on falling a bit. I'd say it'll probably fall even more, but there again, what would I know about it? And basically, it's kind of like indicating old dinosaurs like the Mirror have either got to do a tremendous job of changing, or they'll just be historical things in a museum.
I don't understand why you think this is going to take 12 minutes to do. Because it's a very simple, basic equation. If you look at the revenue, right? The revenue for the mirror was £371 million in 26 weeks.
Yeah.
That means that the revenue probably was like nearly 800 million, right? So the profits on that are going to be 50-60 million pounds. Mm-hmm. And he's quite right. It's a contracting market. Nobody can deny that. Not even me would stand up and rant at the top of my voice saying it wasn't.
Right.
And the way they will survive is to take over, as we've said before, but not to make too big a point, they will take over the internet, which is what they're doing now. But what is interesting?
Yeah.
What is interesting here, and what I don't quite understand, is right. The News of the World, as one of the biggest investigative newspapers in Britain and in the world, in reality, didn't have many rivals, many people who were actually tramping on its own doorstep. Right.
Yeah.
The two that were close to them were the Sunday Mirror, which wasn't so much a campaigning paper, but did go into the same sort of areas, and the Sunday People, which is part of the Mirror Group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, amazingly, when the News of the World, the world's biggest selling investigative Sunday newspaper, vanished off the marketplace, I would have expected that Trinity Mirror would have forced the People and the Sunday Mirror into that marketplace, which they've done, but in a very half-hearted way. And guess who's really stood up and been counted in that market? The Sunday Star, out of the same stable as the Daily Star. One of the most heinous newspapers ever put on this earth. I worked there for a lot of years, and it was a good place to work then. But now it backs the BNP. It does all sorts of terrible things. It's salacious.
Are you sure it backs that particular party we won't give any more credence to? Or is it that it does tend to get more column inches?
I would say I will stand here now, ready to be shot down in flames.
Yep.
They back the BNP.
I don't think they do.
I think they do.
All solicitors' notes to Lee Banks, not me.
Yeah, send them all to me, because I tell you what, I'll prove it to you. No, but anyway, the Daily Star and I am actually saying what a wonderful newspaper it is to have done what it's done. It is trying hard to force itself into that marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the Daily Star, when it first came out, when Derek Jameson first opened it up and introduced...
lovely man.
Yeah,
lovely
man. Well, it was quite a serious newspaper, but had a good sense of humour, which the News of the World didn't really have.
No.
Didn't really have a sense of the humour.
No.
So now what you've actually got, potentially, is one of the world's newspapers that went down perhaps a road that most people wouldn't have gone down politically, right?
Yeah.
Is now coming full circle back to what it was and could actually replace the News of the World. That's either frightening or incredible.
Well, anyway, boys and girls, if you find out in a couple of years' time your fish and chips are now only in white paper, you'll know why all the newspapers have gone. And that's about what they're worth, actually, covering up the chips.
Get microchips now, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of music stories to finish off with. Well, not music stories, but showbusy stories. Christina Aguilera is to play at the Jackson concert. All the music stations are going nuts for it. There'll be CeeLo Green and the most amazing, brilliant, absolutely riveting artist I've ever seen in my life. Smokey Robinson was with the Miracles, actually, in Las Vegas when I saw him.
It's a miracle you got that out, isn't it?
It was, rather. And I'm tired. It's been a hard week, you know. So Smokey Robinson will be there as well, and they're doing the tribute concert to Michael Jackson over in Cardiff's Millennium Stadium on the 8th of October. It'll be really cool. And I'll tell you what, just to see Smokey Robinson, I can't say it. Robinson, where does that keep coming from?
Smokey River.
Yeah, exactly. British acts include Leona Lewis, Craig David, I'm so cool, and JLS, they've also been lined up to perform at the gig as well. JLS are really good, I just love this character. I shouldn't, he's everything I don't like about people, but I love Michael Winner.
Michael, just before you move on to Michael Winner, I just have to say that Randy and Jermaine Jackson, right, have kicked up a fuss about this concert, saying that it's actually in bad taste to run it at the same time as the man who's up for giving Michael, his doctor, giving him the tablets that caused his demise. He's actually up in court.
Allegedly
gave them to him.
Yes, allegedly. Hasn't been proven. Well, anyway, I just think the fans will love it, and I think that's cool.
Michael Winner, I've met him, you know.
I know you have. Yeah, he's a nice... I like Michael Winner, because although I think most of his movies are pretty rubbish, I just like him as a person. He's just,
yeah, I think that's the way most people are with him, isn't it?
Yeah, he's just so straight-talking, and I really enjoyed watching an interview he did not that long ago when he was talking about his fiancé and helper for a considerable time, Geraldine Linton Edwards, and it looks like Michael's going to marry her.
It does, and the beautiful thing is that it's his first marriage. Mm. He's 75, and he's managed to survive 75 years without getting married.
Yeah, but he's been out with a lot of girls, hasn't he?
He's had his beard. I'll tell you what I met. I won't take up much of your time, because it's not that important, but it was just nice, because there he was. I was at... I'll tell you where I was. No, what? Well, anyway, I was at this very posh hotel. I was sitting outside, actually, in the car park. But there was this fabulous, big, old, sort of, almost like the Queen would have. You know those big, old, black cars with massive windows? Yeah. I can't remember what they're called, but the big ones that the Queen has. And it was one of those parked there, and I thought, that's a nice car. Bit strange, 1950s car, 1950s car. And then I saw this, and I've got to say, this frail old man coming down the steps of this hotel by himself, obviously, you know, not in any great pain or danger, but he looked frail. Yeah. And as he walked over, I just nodded at him because I recognised him, and he stopped, and he just said, he just had a quick word with me.
Oh,
and
nice.
Like, say, what? Yeah, exactly, he didn't know me from Adam or anything like that. I was just waiting for somebody outside this hotel.
Yeah.
And he just said to me, he just passed the time of day with me, smiled, and I said, I like your car. And he told me what it was, which it's a Daimler, you know, those big Daimlers. Yeah. And he told me about it and what he was doing there, and then he just got into his car and disappeared. Well, yeah. I think that's really nice.
And I love his quote. Michael Winner said that it will only be a small wedding because he doesn't want 640 freeloaders who don't know me getting drunk at my expense. I like that, man.
And absolutely. Of course, bloated. And getting married at 75 means you don't have to suffer it for decades.
Yeah, exactly. There's no life sentence. Unfortunately, your friend Lord Lloyd Webber is going. Yeah, as well. The photographer is going to be Terry O'Neill, who's quite famous. Chris Rea is going to be there. And at the registry office, the witnesses will be, blow the doors off, Michael Caine and his wife Shakira.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that cool? Anyway, that's it, boys and girls, for another week.
We are.
I'm sorry. We have to go. So that was it from Postcard from Pop Rad for another week from Lee Banks over there in the on the zit of the nose of Europe. Time to say goodbye, Lee.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
And from me, Eric Wiltshire, over a glorious, sunny Pop Rad in the east of Slovakia. We'll see you next week, unless you happen to be around on Sunday, and I'll see you then at 6 o'clock, I think it is, on a number of radio stations. See you then. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world. RTI.